Om Shanti. Just share a few thoughts. I was only just thinking as we were meditating then, there was only 3 nights ago, we were all sitting in front of Baba in that wonderful atmosphere of love and celebration. It was quite a celebration, wasn't it? It's something I've always really enjoyed about Brahman life, that there's a time to be serious and there's a time to have a lot of fun. And I think it's important to feel that. But once again, as Baba has been doing all this season, and I'm not sure your feeling, but sometimes this season I've been listening to Baba. He keeps reminding us, doesn't he, of the same things. And sometimes I feel he's just saying, children, just do it. Just get on with what you know you have to do. But once again, near the end of the Mauli, I think just before the daddies went on stage, Baba was talking about making intense efforts. And it really hit home really deeply to me. I've heard it before so many times, but sitting in front of Baba this time, somehow the importance of making this the prime focus of my life at the moment hit home really deeply. You know, my prime focus may be service, may be relationships, whatever, but Baba's just saying, children, put all your attention towards intense efforts. And we know Baba's talked to us many times about dealing with the account of waste and the account of wasting time, waste thought and waste time. Baba's inspired us to have volcanic yoga. But in the end of the Mauli, Baba was just, the language I think he used was like, this is the story of conquering attachment, dealing with dependency. And it's an image which I've often held in my mind. You know, I love to sort of hold an image, and one of them is, I came naked. And over time, I accumulated so much mentally, emotionally, physically, but ultimately, I have to return in the same way as I came. And I feel that so much of this life is the story of just letting go. Do you feel that? And the more you let go, it's like you have to let go more. And I remember once reading something from Tolstoy, the Russian philosopher. Now, I don't read much about philosophers, but a few things came in my mind. I've read and have remained in my mind. And he actually said that the greatest motivation in the human spirit is freedom. The need, the desire of the human soul is to be independent, is to be liberated, is to be unburdened, uncontrolled. And you think about it, how true it is. In one sense, this whole journey of ours is just letting go all this stuff we've accumulated to go back to that original state of complete freedom. I really love it. And sometimes I remember a few years ago, I had the thought that in a sense the value in the West is freedom. The underpinning value of the Western world is the value of freedom. This is a generalization. The underpinning value of perhaps the Eastern world is love. And often, you know, where there's freedom, where we actually have that drive, that value of freedom, there's a lack of experience of love. And many times people, sometimes in that part of the world, feel lonely, disconnected, you know, not really a sense of belonging in life. But sometimes when the value of love is really there, such a wonderful value, and yet that sometimes compromises freedom. That I feel controlled, I feel suppressed, I feel dominated. And it's like Baba is bringing both these values together. And another time I was reading another philosopher, French philosopher, Rousseau. Actually, I don't really read much philosophy, but but he said something like, everywhere man is born free, but everywhere he is found in chains. Everywhere man is born free, but everywhere he is found in chains. It's like on the surface we're born free, but we have so many mental and emotional bondages. And it's like we create all these bondages, you know? They're self-created, and then we spend a lifetime fighting what I've created myself, you know? Trying to fight to go beyond this sense of control, this feeling of dependence, attachment, etc. And I think sometimes there's like a love-hate relationship with bondages or dependence, because why do we get ourselves into these dependent frames of mind, these bondages? Because it does give me something. It gives me a limited sense of security. So we love them because they give me something, but we hate them because we feel we've lost our independence. And I think that so much of the story of this life, and I was just feeling after listening to Baba that it's like Baba wants to take us right away from this dependent behavior, which is really sort of set in the soul in the second half of the cycle. And in the Muli of the 2nd of February, I was here for that one too, Baba was talking about the five forms, the self-respect of the five forms. And I must be honest, when Baba began to talk about the five forms, I began to practice them, and I couldn't quite get, I didn't feel anyway, what Baba was really wanting. But as I've been practicing them a bit, and I sort of feel that Baba's taking us to taste the eternal sanskaras, to taste the original sanskaras of the Golden Age, to taste, you know, the worship-worthy ones, to really taste the Brahman, taste the angel sanskaras, because then we don't get so locked into the present set of sanskaras. All of us sitting here at this point of time in the cycle, we have this set of sanskaras, which we label as body conscious, and sometimes a part of body consciousness is I feel so stuck in this set of sanskaras, but as I visit the cycle and I taste the feeling of different parts of the cycle, it starts to re-emerge that I don't feel so locked in to this present set. And as I was doing that, I was feeling that the eternal sanskaras and the original sanskaras, the soul was completely free and independent, had absolutely no dependence whatsoever. It's a really wonderful thing. And I love to go on the journey of the cycle. And sometimes, so many times, Baba says, children, you know, spin the cycle. And just feel how the soul at the beginning of the cycle just comes and sits so lightly on the forehead. You know, I feel in the Golden Age, the soul will sit so lightly on the forehead. The wonder is that I'm fully engaged in life. You know, I express through my body. I have relationships, I'm involved in family, I'm performing in the arts, and yet there's absolutely no dependence. And so within the soul is the blueprint of that frame, that state of mind, of living life without this dependent nature, this subservient nature. And when we come to the Copper Age, it's like the little soul batteries run out of power just a little bit, and I begin to look for support externally. And as soon as I begin to look for support, I become dependent. And as soon as I become dependent, I become influenced that which I become attached to or dependent to. And so it's like as we start to become dependent, the more we become dependent, the more we become influenced. And by the end of the cycle, it's like I've surrendered completely all my freedom. The soul is dependent on so many things. I've lost my self-mastery. And sometimes I have that image, you know, I start the cycle in such a state of freedom and independence. By the end, absolutely everything influences the soul. Have you ever had that feeling? How, have you ever wondered why I'm so sensitive? Not even sensitive, hypersensitive. Anyone here ever wondered? The tiniest thing seems to penetrate my inner world and have such an influence on my thinking and feeling. Such a tiny little thing. Because I've set up all these sort of forms of dependence in this way. And I think, you know, the soul was in that full bloom of self-respect. But as I lost my power, my self-respect, my security, I build up this network. And I often feel it's like a network of I and my to sort of compensate this lack of power which I feel. You know, that's a great image to just think of the soul just building like a spider web, you know. And I do it because it makes me feel secure. All these sense things I build around me, they do make me feel secure, but the more I do it, the soul feels heavier and heavier and more burdened as it becomes dependent. And like I say, by the end of the cycle, the soul completely dependent and therefore influenced by everything. And sometimes I think it's almost like this network of I and my, we just grow and build in the second half of the cycle. To the end of the cycle, there's layers and layers of these sanskaras of I and my and the soul I've accumulated. And I'm sitting with all these layers. And there's like the layers of dependence, we can say, on material things. That's one layer. And then we dig deeper. And there's the layer of, we can say, of dependence on relationships. We dig deeper. There's the layer, you know, of dependence on roles and responsibilities and things. And once I remember one of the sisters in Australia was giving us a meditation commentary. It was a wonderful commentary, and she gave us the image of a huge house with 84 rooms in the house. I think you can get the feeling of where I'm going. And it was an amazing image because she took us into the first room, and in the cupboard was all these clothes, you know, the clothes that I'd worn in that life. And on the wall were all the pictures of me doing things and with relationships. And there was also on the table all these trophies of things I'd achieved, things I'd done, the skills. It's like this whole lifetime of experiences, you know, that are etched in the soul. And then we went out of that room into the second room. You know, how much we've accumulated in the second half of the cycle. And even as we dig deeper, it's not just the layers of I and my possessions and relationships and things. Even my own virtues, my own qualities, my ideas, my opinions, my beliefs. How dependent am I on all these sorts of things to give me a sense of self and give me a sense of who I am? And then we step into this wonderful Brahman life, and Baba begins to tell us to dismantle this whole network, the spider web of I and my that I've built up in the soul to give me a sense of value, to give me security. Baba says, children, let it go. Let the whole thing go. I've created it. I've sustained it. And now Baba wants me to let it go. Is it easy? It's an incredible journey, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, I have the thought that, you know, just like a child. And sometimes we're given the example, when a child has a toy, you know, and you say, give me the toy, what does the child do? Mine, 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 you know what they're like. Until you give them a better toy, and in 1 second they just forget the old one, you know, completely forget it. Or an adult has a role or a position. Sometimes we get so attached to that, and we feel so threatened, we fight to save my position. But if we get something better, we can let it go in a second. Sometimes I feel human nature is that we don't really conquer attachment, or shall we say conquer dependency, but we replace it. And in a way, the whole of Bubba's way, I think, is to build such a relationship with my Bubba and feel so secure in that relationship with my Bubba that in a natural way, all these sort of layers of dependence begin to go, whether it's gross or subtle or even the refined forms of dependence that the soul has built up. And many times, you know, as I reflect on my own journey, my own spiritual experience, I think there's steps in this life. The first step I often feel is from body conscious to Brahman. That's a big step, isn't it? Where in one sense it's letting go gross dependencies. As I start to recognize Bubba, and on the basis of that I start to follow Bubba's directions and, you know, practice soul consciousness and live a Brahman life, I begin to let go dependence on material things. A certain lifestyle. You think, many of us had a certain way, a certain lifestyle. We wanted to look. We had a certain image we had created in life. Maybe I'm an artist. Maybe I'm a business person. Whatever it may be. A dependence, letting go dependence of opinions of the world out there, of me and my change. Many sort of things fall off the soul and we step out because of that initial connection and love with Bubba. But the second step I would often feel is from Brahman to serviceable soul. That's also a big step. It's like I establish myself in this life and I begin to practice this life. I love Bubba. And then I begin to see this task of world transformation. And I want to join it. I want to be a part of this task. And so what often happens without realizing it, and I'm just sharing my experience, is we let go these gross forms of attachments or dependence or identities, but we reestablish the subtle ones within Brahman life, you know? We recreate these subtle dependencies within Brahman life. So I reestablish this, you know, this dependency on the role, position, my respect, certain relationships. We know this story. And once again, because dependency is there, because there's a need that it's providing, that what begins to happen is I create it, I sustain it, and I become dependent on these things even within Brahman life. And whenever I become dependent, I want to protect it, I want to defend it. And so sometimes, with all the best intention of helping Bubba in service, I find myself in conflict with others. I find a lot of differences, and I feel sometimes that when I step into this serviceable phase and this subtle dependence of need develops in the soul, it flushes out a whole set of sanskaras that have been dormant in the soul. And these are sort of behaviors that have been sitting there, sometimes to have that controlling nature, you know, that bossy, forceful way. Or perhaps that competitive way, jealousy. All these sorts of things begin to emerge in the soul. And before you know it, with all the right intentions, I'm helping in Bubba's service. Sometimes I don't really feel very happy. And I think it's just a sign the drama is giving us that, to me, it's not wrong. It's a part of the journey. It's almost like the drama teaching me that yes, I may have let go a lot of the gross aspects of body consciousness, of dependency, but I've rebuilt subtle ones in this life once again. And as soon as I do, it affects me and upsets me. I don't feel so happy. And it's just a sign that even these things that I've created to give me a sense of security about who I am, I even have to dismantle these as well. And often I feel, and I feel many of us in the Brahman world feel we've been through this phase, you know, where I put up my hand, I've become a serviceable soul, but the next step is beckoning. Do you feel that? To step from the serviceable soul to the angel. And to me, probably the image I love most in this life is the image of the angel. The angel is the one who flies completely free. And the angel has, in a sense, died from all these sort of subtle forms of ego and these forms of dependence to give me a sense of self-value. And really creates my sense of self and my sense of self-value from my relationship with Baba and not from anything limited at all. And it's really a big step because it's like letting go everything. Sometimes I think it's like standing on the edge of the cliff and really stepping off the edge of the cliff. You know, everything that has created me from the past, I decide I want to let go. And yet it's really the freedom that the soul absolutely craves. And I think it's intrinsic to the human soul to want that independence, that freedom, because it's the most natural feeling. But I think many refined forms of dependence come in the soul. And what I've sometimes noticed, because on this journey you reflect on yourself, and one of these forms of dependence or attachments is these beliefs about myself. I'm attached to certain ways of looking at me, you know? I have these dependent view of who I am. Sometimes I have the belief I'm not lovable. It's a belief that sometimes the soul has carried for a few births. And when that's there, even when people show me love, when people do express love for me, because the belief is so strong, I sometimes can't taste that love. Even when I sit in front of Baba, an unlimited source of pure love, the belief, the dependent view of the self, if I can use that language, that I'm not really lovable, means I can't taste the experience of Baba's love. And you know, sometimes I think, what is meditation? Meditation is, in a sense, sitting in front of the ocean of love and allowing myself to be loved. What is knowledge? Knowledge is observing, where do I block this love? Where do I suppress this? Why, if I'm sitting in front? And I often feel, how many births have we searched for perfect love? I've found it. I'm sitting in front of it. But if I don't taste it, the knowledgeful soul has to reflect, what is it in me that's stopping? Even the belief that I'm unworthy. You know, how strong is that belief? And sometimes I think when Avyak Bapdada meets us, his whole approach is, children, you know, you are the ancestor souls. You are the world benefactors. You are the angels. What Baba creates this amazing image, and what do I say? No, Baba, I'm not that. You don't know what I'm really like. It's incredible when you think, actually, it's Baba who knows what I'm like. It's me who doesn't know what I'm like, you know? And I'm attached. Really, sometimes I have this attachment to the belief of this present set of sanskaras that I'm unworthy. And I won't let go of it. Even when God says, step out of it, step into my vision, the soul doesn't have the courage because this belief is so strong. Or even the belief that I'm not good enough. How deep is that? Sometimes we do things so well, but it is never, ever good enough. You know that feeling? Because, once again, it's like we're dependent to a vision on myself. A knowledgeful soul will deconstruct that and step into the vision of Baba. Even sometimes I've reflected that at the end of the cycle, we're dependent, a refined form, on being a victim. You know, I've been a victim for a long time. It's hard to know another way of behaving. Someone once said to me, only victims blame. It's a really interesting thought that whenever my thinking is finding a victim for the way I feel, I'm sort of positioning myself once again in that place. And sometimes I think, you know, the world, often we feel a victim, the vision of the world on me, we feel a victim of that because the world will always label you and box you and position you in that way in a second. Or we feel a victim of others' vision. You know, it's such a deep thing. And yet, you know, I think Baba is giving us that self-respect to step out of this sort of straitjacket of vision on myself. Even sometimes I think we can have this refined sort of dependence on being right. You know that feeling? I am right. The way I see things is right. My perception of a situation is right. And that's one thing that really struck me over the last few years. And the way Baba defines ego. How can I tell? Because sometimes it's hard to know when I'm under the influence. The way Baba often defines this is this sanskar that I am right. So deep. And this sort of dependent nature, I am right, like I always have to win. And when this goes a bit further, things always have to be my way. You know? The way I want. And yet we all know the repercussions of that sort of thinking. And sometimes I think all these refined sort of forms of dependence on the soul are not enabling the soul to step into that phase of being the angel. The dependence on feeling rejected. You know, sometimes I think that we all step into this life with a lack of self-respect. And because we're old souls, often it's a deep lack of self-respect. So that's the filter I'm interpreting everything in life. You know, in my head is this deep lack of self-respect. And so I look at everything through that filter. And so your behavior, your attitudes, your nature, often I interpret as not wanting me, not loving me, not accepting me, even rejecting me. And so I sometimes, you know, it's almost a part of my nature to so easily feel rejected. And then think of the complications that creates in my life. When I keep interpreting people, and even if people are like that, you know, why do I accept that sort of attitude? The subtle dependence on being praised and recognized. Quite frankly, I think in our family, sometimes I think when we come to Madhuban, this is such a huge family, such an extraordinary family, such a talented family. And sometimes the soul thinks, who am I? Where do I belong? Anyone ever felt like that? I think we all feel that. You know, you see all these souls and yet I sometimes think that, you know, to feel value, I still seek your approval. I still seek your acknowledgement. rather than really Bubba's. And it's one of the things I've really reflected on a lot over the last few years, that in a sense, self-realization is to deeply accept my part in the drama. It's a beautiful part. If I don't accept it now, when am I going to accept it? If I'm always comparing myself with you and how you are, and then feeling, oh, I've got to be like you, no, I've got to be like you, no, maybe I should be like you, and I lose myself in that. It's such a deep thing, because sometimes I think a lot of Bubba's children, they just love Bubba so deeply, and yet the whole of Brahman life thinking, what's my part? Where do I belong? What's my role? You know, that sort of insecurity. And then we sort of become beggars for a little bit of love and approval and respect from a senior or something, rather than sitting in front of Bubba. To be dependent in that way is, you know, not such a sweet experience. Even the subtle dependence on others. And one of the things I remember in a recent Avyaktamuli that Bubba was saying was, you know, when you have a problem, when you have a real difficulty, where does your intellect go? It's a really good thing to check. Does it go to Bubba? Or does it go, I need to talk to so-and-so. Daddy's come. You know, I need to talk to so-and-so, etc. And yet, ultimately, we need to let go of all these things. Anyway.